Well, good evening, guys. This is the third session that we're going to be looking at an interaction between spirit, soul, and body. And I'm trying to record myself here, so please just forgive if it doesn't turn out so good. But for the sake of the people being able to hear, because apparently there's been some struggle, so we're going to try it this way and see if it's going to work better. So this week it's about the spirit. We're talking about the spirit man, our spirit. And in your notes, if you had read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, you would see that when God said he's making man in his likeness and in his image. And this is important to understand, because when we talk about his image, the critical question that will often arise was, well, what is God look like? What is he like? Again, the questions that we need to be asking ourselves is, what does he look like and what is his image? And we all have different portrayals in our mind, and religion has portrayed God as they seem to know best. But let's go to the source again, which is the Word of God. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus tells us very clearly, he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And what that means is to worship God in the realm of the spirit. You cannot connect with God just with your mental senses or connect with him physically. It has to be through the spirit. It has to be by the spirit man. And so when we worship him, we're worshiping him in the spirit realm where he dwells, because God is a spirit. So we know very clearly that God is not flesh in that sense. And that when Jesus came, he did take on the form of mankind's body so that he could represent mankind legally on the earth. If Jesus came any other way, he would not have been legal. If he had came as a green blob, he would not have been perceived to be a legal human being. So he had to come in the form of a human body, enabled to redeem us and restore us back to our relationship with the Father through the Spirit. So when the Word of God tells us that he's made us in his image, it means in addition to our body and our soul, he also put a spirit in us. So when God breathed into Adam in the garden, he breathed life. It says he became a living being, and we've been through that. But he also put his spirit, he breathed a spirit into man. And that's why Adam was able to have communion with God before the fall. That's why they could walk and talk with God before the fall, because their spirit was perfect, and there was no separation between God and them. And then in Genesis 5, 1, 2, 3, it says, in the written account of Adam's family line, something interesting I want to raise, is that when God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. We understand it. There it is again. Made in the likeness of God, yet they had a body to bring expression through what God is like. So he created them male and female, and he blessed them. Bible says he blessed them, and he named them mankind. Another word for Adam is mankind when they were created. Then we realize that Adam lived to 930 years when he died physically, that at 130 years old, he bore a son, and the Bible said, his name is Seth, and it says in the Bible that he bore the image of Adam. What we simply mean is this: Adam procreated as an earthly father and had a son in his own likeness and after his image. So as Adam had arms and legs, for argument's sake, and had eyes and ears, so did Seth, meaning Seth carried the physical image and form also of his father Adam. So body and soul are enough for mankind that walks the earth today to experience life naturally, and I mean that through the five senses. So everybody on the earth that is a body has a soul. They have a spirit, but their spirit, as we've discussed before, is dormant, or is not connected to God, so there's no life in it. And I don't even think we can begin to draw anywhere near to God without the help of Holy Spirit. Again, Nicodemus, he says, what do I do, teacher? And Jesus said, you need to be born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So being born from above by the Holy Spirit is what brings us back into that relationship where we can worship God in spirit, in the spirit realm, and in truth. So without the Holy Spirit, no man can connect with God. It's just impossible. They'll have a mental assent, but they will never have a real, genuine, authentic relationship with the Father, because that comes through the Spirit. And in John 3:3-5, read it, where Jesus speaks about the new birth, and he says, unless you are born again, you cannot have a relationship with Father. You cannot come into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So we understand that our spirit needs a new birth. We can use different terminologies: reborn, born again, regenerated. There's many different terms, but the fact is that your spirit man, which was cut off from God because of sin, as you accept Jesus, Holy Spirit comes in and resurrects your spirit man that was dead to God and brings you alive to God. And that's the power of water baptism, because water baptism is saying, I am dying to myself, I'm dying to the old man, and I'm coming up with a brand new identity. And the brand new identity in water baptism is I'm a new creation in Christ, because water only makes you wet. So it's not about the water, it's about the symbolism of when Jesus died on the cross, he went into the depths of hell. We see that he rose again on the third day. And what was he doing? He was saying, I'm dying, but I'm rising up a brand new first fruit son of God. And so we are able to experience exactly the same thing. When you read Ephesians 2:5 and 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, I was dead, but now I'm alive with Christ. He doesn't mean he was physically dead, he was spiritually dead. But he says, now that I've received Christ, I am alive. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit, which means the natural man, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. So have you ever spoken to people about the Lord, or spoken to them about scriptural things or biblical things, and they look at you and think, are you talking nonsense, man? This is foolishness to me. The famous question, how can you believe in a God that you cannot see? But they're coming from their natural senses, and you cannot understand God that way. Your spirit needs to come alive. And when your spirit is touched and comes alive, the things of God make sense. They come into a place where you say, well, I understand this. I now begin to understand who God is. I'm experiencing him on a continual basis. So your understanding comes because it's through the Holy Spirit in your spirit that you can begin to discern the things of God. And again, I want to go back to what Jesus said. He said, the time will come when the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he will be in you. He said, he's been on you before, but he's going to come in you, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. He will teach you and show you things to come. We cannot survive without Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to tell you that now. There is no way. If you are trying to have a Christian experience without Holy Spirit understanding and Holy Spirit in your life, you have nothing but religion. And religion has proven itself to be a failure over the centuries of when it, since it's began to this day. So in this passage, the word says, when it talks about the natural man cannot perceive the things of God, the word there is the Greek word psukios, which comes from the noun suki, which means soul. So the soul man cannot connect with the things of God. It's the spirit man that does that. So we understand then a man with a body and a soul is a soul man. But we are, as believers, body, soul, and spirit. So we're not just soul men, although we do have a soul. And according to the passage, that man is only body and soul. He cannot receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned by the Spirit. They are not discerned through mental assent, as I've said before. So to receive the things of the Spirit, to receive the things of God, to have a relationship with God and communicate with God, you need to have the appropriate receiver. And that receiver is the Spirit. There's no other way you can connect to God. And that's why the passage says, nor can he, the man with body and soul, know the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. You discern the things of God through your spirit. So the man of body and soul, and so we say the natural man, cannot know the things of God, because only when you experience the Spirit in you, Holy Spirit coming into you, Spirit, making you alive, then do the things make sense to you. Prior to that, it will never make sense. And we can see this because when you look at since the fall of man and since the lack of their spirit being reborn, they know about God. They can tell you many things about God, but they don't really know who God is. So what does this being a new creation mean to you? When you read the word where Paul says, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, old things have passed away, all things have become new. What does that mean to you? What is that saying to you? Because that's a very powerful point. You cannot unfold and understand your purpose in God and your existence if you don't understand this, that you are a new creation. You are a brand, you are a species that has never existed before. And I'm not going to go into all that. You can delve into the scriptures yourself. And so you get to know God through your spirit. Through the spirit, you get to know and have a relationship with him. Just remember, Adam had a body formed from the dust of the ground. It was a soul that gave life to his body. And the spirit gave him the ability to have that relationship with God. So bear in mind that when death is spoken about in the scripture, it means two things. It means a separation from God is looked at as a death. There's a physical death which people experience. Two kinds of deaths in scripture. There is the spiritual death and there's the physical one. So when Adam had sinned, he lost that ability to be able to have that intimacy and that communion with the Father. And so when we speak about death, we're saying an absence of a form of life. There's an absence of a form of life. So Adam, who was alive to God, continued to live anyway, physically and with a soul. We understand that he continued to live until the age of 930 years old. So the question is, what was lost for him? What did Adam lose? What died? And of course, the answer is the spirit. His spirit man was severed from God, because God doesn't live in the presence of sin. He cannot. God has no sin. He isn't. We know Jesus said he had a body of a human, but no sin in that body, no sin in the members of his body. And so that's what cut it off. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to get into this now, but you do realize whether we die or whether we're alive when Jesus comes, that our bodies will be glorified. We will have glorified bodies, no sin in the body as we have now. We will be eternal in the context of even our body. And so it's going to be an awesome thing to behold. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Where do your attitudes and thoughts dwell? In your soul, man. So when you're reading the Word of God, or Holy Spirit starts to speak to you, you will get a conviction, not a condemnation. That's different. You get conviction by the Spirit that what your thoughts are and what your attitudes are is not right. It's not how God is. It's not the way he lives. And so this verse tells us at least two things. It says to us that the soul can be divided from the spirit. The division of the soul is something that only God can discern. And so rather than focusing on something, we cannot know for sure, it is better to focus on the Creator, because he made us. He made us fearfully and wonderfully. Closed off with Psalm 139 verses 14, where it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. David said that. And it's true. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, created to have eternal relationship with him, created to live with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, to enjoy him, to get to know him. But I say again, that is only possible when your spirit man is reborn and come alive and raised up as a brand new creation. So it's being restored back to the very beginning where there was no sin. That's what it really means. We've been restored back to the very beginning. Do we have sin in our soul and our bodies? Yes, we do, because the soul needs to eventually submit to the spirit man in us, where the Spirit of God in us can have that full control. And that's why we renew our mind, because our mind, being part of our soul, needs to come under the things of the Spirit, needs to surrender, needs to bow. When Jesus said to his disciples, pick up your cross and follow me, he wasn't talking about a literal cross. He was talking about, let yourself die daily to yourself. Die daily to yourself. Come alive to him. Surrender to him. Submit to him. And in the process of that, you begin to discover how wonderful and fearfully you are made. Because God's intention has always been for man that he created to have communion, relationship, intimacy with him. And when we talk about God, we're including Jesus, we're including Holy Spirit. And the three of them, I want to give you a definition of the Trinity. I got asked the question this last week. What is the Trinity? They are co-equal, they are co-eternal, and they are co-powerful. And so that is the awesome thing. When he made us in his image, he said, let us make man in our image. He didn't separate himself from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. I trust this will bless you. I trust this will excite you. And I want to say this to you. May this become more than just knowledge. May it become revelation as you, with Holy Spirit, ask him to reveal to you, to show you things, to go into the scripture as he is so faithful in doing, and make it alive to us and make us understand it more, because we cannot understand it with the natural mind. It's not logical. When I look at the things of God and what he says and what he, sometimes I think, God, there's no logic in you, but I'm coming from my natural man. I'm coming from a world's perspective. But when I believe and receive, and when faith comes, it comes by hearing the word of God. So when I hear what he says, then I know this one thing for sure. I know that I don't have to understand everything. I need to believe. And when I believe, that's when I receive. That's when the things become more real and alive. So God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your time together. And let's just have a good time in Jesus. Amen.